Okay. All right. So, something to consider, and you've heard me say it, and hopefully to understand what's meant behind the saying that we are all one day closer. We are. We are all one day closer to being with our Lord.
Yeah.
Lord willing.
Yeah.
We are. As the ticks, seconds tick, tick, we're that much closer. That's one thing none of us can change, nor that we would could ever manifest time in any way. Time is constant. Time is by the direction of God. In fact, it's one of those things that a lot of people really haven't contemplated, that time was created by God. Like everything else. Everything else. He created it. Yeah, even the angelic beings. He created them. They just didn't exist. Nothing existed without God. He created everything at His good pleasure. And again, we are all getting closer to that day, no matter how young we are or how old we are. But I guess, truth be told, the older we are, the closer we are. We just don't know. We just don't know the time. We just don't know the time. But it's going to happen. It's coming. And so I say that to encourage you, to uplift you, to remind all of us of the hope that is within us, that we're going to see our Creator. We're going to see Him face to face. It's going to be a beautiful moment. It should be anticipated, hopefully with great longing on our part. Because what we have here in this world, as beautiful as it is, mind you, again, because we just heard it discussed, God doesn't make junk. He makes a lot of things that you got to scratch your head, no doubt. For example, the platypus. I'm convinced. I'm not convinced. I say that. God doesn't waste things either. So that's how the platypus came about. He had an extra bill. Anyway. So he put it together. It's a platypus. You know, the strange things that God made. Marvelous things that God made. When you think about the hummingbird. I didn't know this until a few years back, that the hummingbird is a migratory bird. Yeah, I see. I didn't know it was a migratory bird. It travels over 4,000 miles. That little bird. We know of geese. We know of other larger animals that are migratory, and they travel great distances. But this is a little hummingbird. Mm-hmm. That's marvelous how God has done that. So, and they too, like everything else, in their own time, at the right time, at God's plan, they take off and migrate. Have you ever seen the migration of monarchs on the Nature Channel or anything like that?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Just a few people? If you have not, I would suggest you look it up. See again God's handiwork, and that all these monarchs, countless monarch butterflies, are waiting for the moment to start their migration. The butterflies migrate as well. They start a journey from South Africa, South America, travel all the way up to North America, but the generation that started the trip is not the one that makes the trip back home. Think about that. God had planted into them the direction that they need to go. So when their parents died, they didn't have someone to show them the way. They knew the way. And so they made that great migration. Now, God is wonderful. God is marvelous. As we as mankind, as His creation, we are not discovering anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. God has made it from day one. What we're privileged to see is his handiwork. We get to see it firsthand, and then we get to try to understand it. For example, I think there's going to be a medical mystery answered once they figure out what in the world is a gallbladder. It's there. What does it do? I'm convinced it does something. Just because we don't understand what it does doesn't mean it's not necessary. So it's like all the different kind of fungi and bacteria, and especially in the garden, that there's all kinds of weird, what we consider weird bacteria in the garden soil. But if it's not in that soil, the garden's not going to produce and work like it's designed to. And again, even in that, there's got to be a balance. If there's too much phosphorus in there, too many, what do I say, stink bugs in there, you could have problems. There's a balance. There's a balance. And again, we know, too, in speaking of a garden, that God made it in his own time. That when you plant a seed, it's going to take so many weeks for that seed to germinate and pop out of the ground. And then, after that, it's going to grow. And then after that, a certain amount of time, it's going to produce this fruit. Now, if you took that seed and wrapped it up in a piece of paper and moistened it and stick it in a microwave and hit it for, let's say, 3 minutes because you want the watermelon now, it's not going to work, is it? No. Again, it's by God's own plan, his own timing, by his own design. And there's nothing we can do to change that, no matter how much we would like to. And there's things that God does for us. We kind of surprise ourselves. Okay? So in this world of gardening, we're discovering a lot of things. Like most of us do in our lives, we're discovering a lot of things. And a lot of them are pretty pleasant. Some not so much. But nonetheless, it's a discovery. So my sweetheart planted a garden, and she's looking forward to these watermelon, because that's the seed that we use. From a watermelon this big. So she's expecting watermelon this big. She goes out to the garden with our daughter, and she says, "Look, Mom, look at all those beautiful cantaloupe you have." So, again, expectation is should be based on knowledge. You know, we can have all these grandiose dreams, but if it's not based on knowledge, you kind of set yourself up. Again, we're talking about God's time and his plan for everything. I tried to look it up in the songbook here a little while ago. A tune came into my head, and maybe you guys remember it or help me out with it. One of the phrases is, "Heaven is a beautiful place filled with his glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place." Only a few people heard that? You didn't hear that? But it's a song that we know of. And it has a nice sentiment to it. Heaven is a beautiful and wonderful place. Now, a lot of us here in the U.S. and overseas, too, we all have kind of like our bucket list, if you will. That term, bucket list. So they want to go see the Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, Hawaii, or whatever's on your list. I bet a lot of us now want to go just find a cool place somewhere. I don't know, Antarctica. Not that cold. There's probably a lot of cruise ships already booked. Anyway, so planning for that place to go to a place that you want to go see and experience. Now, heaven should be one of those places that are right up at your top of the list. And it is the quote-unquote best place to go to, bar none, even though you haven't seen it. And that is some place we hope that all of us are looking forward to. Because again, we are all one day closer to that marvelous day. One day closer. Let's look in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 21. Good morning. Good morning. Where Paul states, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. He wants to be close. He wants to be close to Christ. In such a way that he knows Christ, he knows his goodness as we do, as we consider and reflect in our lives all the goodness that he has done for us, his patience with us, his forgiveness towards us, the direction he provides to us, the blessings he flows upon us. We are blessed in that we have a merciful God who gives second chances, who gives third chances. Now, he doesn't count. Once our sin is forgiven and you repent and you are really sorry, change your ways to live for him, whatever you did is forgotten. God forgets on purpose so that you know you have that blessing, that he doesn't hold it against you. But we have to do our part. We have to do our part. Yes.
There's more stuff in there. You didn't finish the 21.
Okay. Let's see here. Where did I stop at? Okay, the resurrection. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Isn't that beautiful? I would even say that's powerful. I would even suggest to you that these words that we read just now are life-changing. It's something to look forward to. And we know that what is written in Scripture is for our edification, for our teaching, for our reproof, for our understanding. Again, depending on our Christian walk, how we embrace it, how we put it into ourselves, hopefully will be easier and stronger as we mature in the faith. It's kind of like an example of being able to run. When you start running, when I was in the military and I went to basic training, a lot of us did not have track and field when we were in high school. A lot of the soldiers who came in were couch potatoes. They didn't run, not at all. And so when they got in the military, guess what we did? A lot of running. Yes, sir, we hit the ground running. So we could see that those who were not in shape puking their guts out, because it was something that was so different to their bodies. It was just a shock to the body. There was something. What are you doing to me? And so they suffered the consequences of being out of shape. They didn't realize that to be in shape was a good thing, a very necessary thing. So I kind of used that example in our faith. Our faith also grows. So when you're first starting and trying to understand with sincerity with what is written in the Scriptures, it may be hard to take. What? You want me to change my life? What? You want me to forgive those who did awful things to me in the way past? You want me to do that? You want me to pray for my enemies? Yes. Because that's what God did. He's not asking you to do something that he has not done. He leads by example. He is our example. He shows kindness, patience, tolerance, understanding, compassion, forgiveness. He knows the power of faith, that it can move mountains. But like in the running, when we first physically starting to learn how to run, it's hard on us. Many of the soldiers didn't doubt it. They were going to make the 2-mile PT test. They had their doubts because they're out of shape. Now here we are as mature Christians, and in our faith, hopefully you're running the race, as it says in Scriptures. This is a marathon. It's a long distance run. A long distance run. It'll take your lifetime. It requires your lifetime. It's not like you go out there on the high school track and field and you run 4 loops and you're done. No, in the Christian walk, it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. See, the old saying, keep on keeping on, has some meaning. Keep on keeping it. I remember some of those PT runs when I was doing it, just telling myself, one foot in the other, one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. Keep it going, keep it going. And that's when they developed the cadence. 1, 2, 3, 4, just to keep it going, keep it going, just keep going. So whatever it takes for you to get your faith, keep it going. That's what I want to encourage you to do. Prayer, how important Bible study is. You must read it for yourself. You have to read it for yourself. The same for like the PT test. I couldn't take it for anybody else. I had to do it myself to qualify. Same for all of us in our walk with Christ. No one can do it for you. In fact, no one should do it for you. If you love Him, you will seek it out and find a way to please Him. And how we do that? In the Scriptures. There's some mysteries in there, in the Scriptures. But that's why we have an opportunity to talk about it, discuss it, share ideas on it, and so on and so forth. Again, heaven is a beautiful place. And we see here, again, let me go back to verse 14 where Paul was saying, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
I really like it, verse 13. If you read that over again, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Too often we let the behind prevent us from going ahead. We don't want to forget it. As God said, I remember them no more. But we want to keep remembering. We want to keep accusing someone. We want to keep those bad thoughts in our mind. Paul says, I forget them.
That's right. That's right.
We got to forget them.
Amen. And some people, unfortunately, because of their faith is not where it should be, that they will fall away all those bad memories in their mental filing system. And they'll keep it so they can pull it out as a trump card. Shame on you. Now, we're supposed to learn from our mistakes, yes.
Yeah.
But we're not supposed to harbor those mistakes. We're supposed to forget them as well as best as we can. Again, God can help you with that. God can help you with that. If you want to move forward, leave the baggage.
Mm-hmm. It's like we carry a little sack around. Oh. We keep putting them in there. Then when the time comes to use them,
it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because you are withholding yourself back from a better, generous, joyous, deeper relationship with God the Father. Because if you got this much room in your proverbial heart, let's say this much room, and half of it is filled with bad memories, all this needs to be Christ. All that needs to be Christ. Him. Not part, all of it. Yes, ma'am.
We sometimes are our own worst enemies by doing that. And we make a mistake and then we bounce on ourselves over and over again. Oh, why did I do that? And it'll come up at night when you're trying to sleep. And then you have restless nights. We can't do that. We've got to forget, move on, knowing what you said just a while ago, that God's forgiven us. If we're really sorry that we've done that and we made that mistake, we said whatever it was that we did, we got to leave it alone and don't let the devil have you to bring it back up again, because it'll keep you from doing something else, you know, moving forward. We need to win this prize. We need to remember that the Lord is with us and He will continue to bless us and not bring those things out. Just keep on going.
Amen. Amen. So imagine yourself running the proverbial Christian race. Again, I said it's a marathon. Now, on this, you want to be as lightweight as possible, correct? I would think. Why carry the extra baggage? Well, you got to do the self-assessment, because you're not fooling no one. God knows. God knows if you're holding something back. God knows if He doesn't have your complete heart. He knows. You can't pull one on Him. There is nothing that we do that we're going to get away with. Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. God already knows. They said, well, it's a secret. I'll keep this between me and my mortal enemy. God knows. He knows. He's going to hold you accountable. That's the thing. We mature Christians need to realize that. We're adults here. We know that. We are accountable for our actions. Inactions. Laziness, etc., etc. Everything we have to give an answer for. There's no do-overs in this life, friends. We just get the one chance. And when we consider the blessings that God has given us, we are blessed. We are blessed. But we do get to breathe His air. We do get to see His creation. We do get to understand His Word, read His Word. We do look forward to the day when we get to meet Him and see Him. But heaven does sound like a place we all want to go to, right?
Yes.
Better than Disneyland?
Yeah. Much better.
Okay. Well, again, depending on people's bucket list, you know, they say, hey, I want to go to Aruba. Okay. Is heaven better than Aruba?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about Italy? I mean, would you just pick anything? Now, obviously, I say that rhetorically, but unfortunately, far too many of us will hold that higher in this world than what is out of this world. Again, even to the point where we got to check ourselves, is anyone in your family more important than Jesus Christ, our Lord?
No.
That's what He expects. Christ expects that. Without hesitation, without reservation, without any hindrance, that is the most important thing, person, entity in your life. It's Him. Bar none.
And it's a weird concept, but to be so homesick for a place we haven't been at home yet, and I haven't seen yet, and think about that all the time. I'm so homesick and ready for that great day to come. I haven't been there yet. I haven't been home yet. And that's the attitude we should have, is that desire to go home, to be at home.
As I mentioned earlier, God don't make junk. So as beautiful as this world is, my imagination, even though it's vivid at times, I cannot comprehend what we're going to see. I'm glad that we have a reference in Revelation, and we're going to go there in a little bit, about what's going to happen there. But again, what a beautiful place to go see. Ryan, our grandson, he was born in Hawaii. But he has no recollection of what it looks like, because he was taken out of Hawaii within 3 months or so after he was born. So we're planning to go there on his 16th birthday. So can you see the anticipation going back to a place? He was born there, but he has no memory of that. And we can only show him in pictures and tell him about the experience that we had while we were there. But it doesn't compare to being there. A lot of people watch this virtual reality. It's nothing like being there. You can see the beautiful trees, the sequoia trees, on TV, on the nature shows. But it's nothing like being there. At the base of this thing that God created. And then it hopefully humbles you. When you consider what He spoke into existence, to be mature trees at the creation. A beautiful thing, a beautiful place to look forward to. Let's try to get a better understanding, a little bit of what heaven's going to be. We're going to jump into Revelation 21, verses 1 through 27. Of course, time would not permit us. So I end at 10, right?
10:15.
Okay.
Chuck Woo verse?
It is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 27.
Okay.
Revelation. All right. All right. I will read, excuse me. Me. Revelation 21, 1 through 27. Do I have volunteers to read? Go ahead. Please, dear.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall, 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square. Its name is its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thank you. Isn't that a beautiful place?
Yeah.
place we haven't been before. But one, hopefully, again, I encourage you to consider that with great anticipation of getting there, of going there, of being there. Let me go back to verse 6.
Can I?
Of course.
Yes,
sir.
She read something there that people use all the time. The pearly gates.
Mm-hmm.
The pearly gates. How many times have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's right here.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a good job. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that.
Could you imagine that oyster? Oh, just kidding. And they found 12 of them.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, the beauty, they're trying to describe something spiritual with physical things that we can relate to. And we thank God for that. So we will know of the beautiful place that is waiting for us. But again,
man,
there's contingencies. There's requirements.
Yeah.
There are. And that's the thing that we all need, again, as mature Christians, understand that. I'm going back to verse 6, where it states, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. You know, that's got to be the best tasting water.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, again, everything that's within God's realm is pure. Pure. We may not understand that in today's society. What was that soap? Was it Ivory soap? 99.9% pure?
Yeah.
I think at one time they were advertising that.
Dove?
Mm-hmm. Was it 99?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's 99.9%.
That's
as good as man can get. Maybe. You know, but again, the point being that what's up there is beautiful, pure.
100%.
This isn't even necessarily water that we know.
That's true. I mean, yeah, he's speaking of a thing, something spiritually, so we can try to understand it physically. But whatever it is that he's giving, it'll be beautiful, it'll be pure, refreshing. Imagine. Yes, sir.
Think about this, because when Jesus came back to his apostles, he was in the spirit, the spiritual body that we will have, and he ate and he drank with the apostles. First, he could go through walls, but you know that I would not be surprised. Whatever the Lord has for us is going to be wonderful. One thing I noticed when I read this with the ladies pastors the other day, how many times have I read verse 2? There will be no more sea. So if you want to see with SeaWorld, now's the time. It's not going to be there. All the fishes and the whales that you love so much. I don't know why, but that's okay. The gates are made of pearls. Hey, that's a sea creature.
Wherever, as long as we're with him, ultimately.
That's right.
And so, but again, for us mature Christians to have an understanding, again, what our obligation is and our responsibility, let's revisit verse 8, where it states, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.
Well,
you think it's hot here? Brother says it, this is reality. This is the truth. This is not sugar-coated. Again, because we have a gracious God who wants us to be there with him, will let us know what those requirements are. He's pure. Pure in every sense imagine that he will not, because of who he is, will not accept anything or anyone who isn't pure and holy and righteous. He will not. It's written right there. It's written right there. Not because I said it, because he said it. And let's go back to where it says, all liars.
Yeah.
Okay. A little warning for us. It says all liars. Even the little white ones. Okay? Yeah, when you fib. Right. It's a lie. You can call it a fib. You're still lying. You need to say the truth. In every regard. In every aspect. Again, that's because God wants us to be with him. He's not setting these up as hurdles or things that you think would be impossible. Remember, we have someone who walked the earth, who did the walk, who did the talk, who lived the life. It can be done. Hard? You bet. Worthwhile? Without question. Without question. You just got to keep one foot in front of the other. Keep it going. Oh, I just got the time check. We thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy.
We are looking forward to seeing you all at the next appointed time. God bless you all. Thank you for your participation and your patience.
Thank you.